All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. It's been a while. We took a week off because the big Aussie show, you know, back to the beginning, I was more interested in that than anything, and I just didn't care about articles or the world or anything. It was just, you know, a metal day, rock day, seeing Ozzy for the last time in Sabbath and on stage for the last time. He's not going to be on stage anymore.
Well, so yeah, he was stuck there last we checked.
Yeah, he's... I mean, they gave him a cake, but yeah. Anyway, it was a great fucking time. It was a sad time, but also a great fucking time.
All his years of service, they gave him a cake. Come on, now.
He's a fucking millionaire, man.
Cream cheese roasted.
He literally said at the end of it, he said, "We want to thank you all for allowing us to live the lifestyles that we have."
Yeah.
They said, "It's all because of you." And it's true, because everybody bought the records and everything that made them millionaires and stuff. And that's, yeah. So, anyway. Okay, so we're going to ignore that. But anyway, Charlize Theron explains why she dislikes online dating. Every guy has a Burning Man picture, and they're like a CEO of nothing. Theron opened up to Andy Cohen about why she stopped using Raya. Now, for those of you that don't know, Raya is the app for the celebrities,
for
famous people.
Usually rich, wealthy.
Yeah.
The top.
Yeah.
Point.
The elite.
All the regular women want and think they deserve, but don't.
Right. The elite. Charlize Theron realized she is. Revealed that she's on the dating app Raya but doesn't like it. She shared that every guy has a Burning Man picture and went on to say that men on the dating platform are a CEO of nothing, and she'll reprise her old guard role for Old Guard 2. I don't even know what that is.
Tell her she's an aging commodity. I mean, she's still good looking for her age, but for her age.
Charlize Theron is getting real about the reason she's no longer active on the dating app Raya. In the Thursday, June 26th episode of Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, the host 57 posed a question from the viewer. The viewer asked if it was true that Theron 49 was on Raya. She replied, "I am." "Oh yeah, I am too," he said. Theron then said, "I don't do anything with it," to which he said, "Right, you don't?" She elaborated, "A friend put me on it. I went on two dates, because every week it's a guy with a Burning Man picture, and they're like a CEO, like of nothing." She said in reference to the Desert Art Festival, to which the audience erupted into laughter. "And they're all, like, into fitness," to which Cohen quipped, "or like a creative director of nothing. Then you meet with them, and they're not. I just say it up front. I'm like, why did you even put that on your thing? No, I don't like it."
Because... other women don't give a shit about creative anything. Yeah, they just expect them to have money.
Yep.
Don't really care what they do. They could probably kill a baby a week and get $1 million. Wouldn't bother most women, because that's just how the world works.
Three men who raped teenager in Rotterdam told her, "This is what white girls are for," the court hears. This was in June 2025, so it's a little old. Teenage girl was allegedly raped by three men in Rotherham and abused for 3 years. Excuse me. She was told, "This is what white girls are for," a court has heard. Sagir Hussein allegedly attacked the 14-year-old when he was around the same age as her, alongside two other men. Prosecutor Andrew Bailey told Sheffield Crown Court today that the girl, now in her late 30s, was raped by Hussein Kassir Ajib and Mohammed Mahmoud between 1999 and 2002. Describing one of the times a teenager was allegedly raped by Hussein, Mr. Bailey told the court she later said, "He said it was my own fault. I'd led him on. I shouldn't have walked around in what I was dressed in. I deserved it, and that is what white girls were for." Mr. Bailey then told the jury of 8 women and 4 men he continued to call her things like "white slut" when he saw her. The prosecutor opened the trial of the three men by telling the jury, the three defendants are all charged with serious sexual offending of a historical nature. The offending all took place in Rotherham. He said that all three men are accused of raping one of the complainants. Hussein is also charged with raping a second teenager. Mr. Bailey said the first teenager was an immature and vulnerable young girl when she began hanging around a Rotherham youth club. He said this club was also frequented by young Asian men, some around her age, but others who were a little older and would ask the girls if they want a drink and give them cigarettes. That's what the Asian men did, I guess. Uh-huh. You want drink? I give you cigarettes. It's like... It sounds like something out of a... Anyway, the prosecutor said that the girl met Ajib at the youth club and he began to sexually assault her after word got around that she had consensual sex with a boy of her own age, even though she was 14. Mr. Bailey said Ajib saw this as a green light, and the defendant said that now she needed to come try somebody real. He told the jury how Ajib, who was 18 at the time, raped her in an alleyway. He said she told him she didn't want to do it, and he added he was a lot bigger than her, and she felt overpowered. She realized she had no choice. Mr. Bailey said this girl was made to have sexual intercourse on about 5 or 6 occasions. He said she felt like a prostitute. She was in fear of being hurt if she didn't do it. The prosecutor said Mahmoud, who was about 18 or 19 at the time, raped the same girl in an old graveyard in Rotherham as she fought against him. He said that he called her a slut and a dirty bitch before spitting at her and laughing. Mr. Bailey said the girl's parents had split up and her mother was working 4 jobs, so she had to deal with it on her own. He said she dare not tell anyone. The prosecutor said the girl described Hussein as a horrible person and walked around with a swagger. He did. Okay, well that's...
Oh, a swagger, you
he
said.
He walked around with a swagger.
I guess when you're used to raping people, you get a little cocky, I guess.
I guess, hell. Mr. Bailey told the jury...
I mean, he needs to be killed, obviously.
Oh, yeah. How Hussein allegedly raped the second complainant in an alley in Rotherham Town Center with 2 other people present, 1 female and 1 male. He said she described how she cried throughout the ordeal as the other girl blocked her exit. She did what she had to do to get out, the prosecutor said.
Yeah, it's too late for the UK. I've heard they've already been overrun from...
Oh, yeah. Immigrants. Yeah, yeah, they're
and
bad.
Their beliefs are, you know, rape's okay.
Yeah, I know. It said... He said the girl described herself as looking like a 14-year-old boy, not feminine at all, and looking young for her age. Ajib, 43, of Walter Street, Rotherham, denies 2 counts of rape and 1 of indecent assault, all relating to the first complainant. Mahmoud, 43, of Folding Street, Rotherham, denies 1 count of raping the first complainant. Hussein, 39, formerly of Rotherham, denies 2 counts of raping the first complainant and and 1 of raping the second complainant. Mr. Bailey told the jury that Mahmoud told police in an interview that it was a case of mistaken identity and police had gotten the wrong man. Hussein told officers that allegations were vindictive and Ajib made no comment when he was interviewed. The trial was adjourned and will continue tomorrow.
Truly doubt it. Truly doubt it.
Sorry, we are not currently accepting comments on this article. I bet because the comments were
probably
so fucking hardcore.
Yeah.
Let me see here. I'm seeing if there's anything going on. I don't care about that.
I think the lawmakers are so backwards in this world nowadays, it seems like, that they need some with some sense.
Jamming Windows 95 onto a PS2 goes about as well as you might expect, but the Sisyphean struggle is still compelling viewing. We've all seen countless attempts by people trying to run older console games on a PC, either through reverse engineering the code or use of emulators, but one plucky hardware modder has decided that the time was ripe to do the reverse. Get an old games console to become a PC by running Windows. So the operating system in question happens to be Windows 95, so it's not exactly what you would call recent, but when you consider the hardware chosen for the attempt that was a PS2, the choice of software is perhaps more understandable. Anyway, the brave modder who undertook the task was Modding Channel Metrobyte. The detailed video breaks down the necessary stages required to get a 25-year-old console to run Windows, and it goes just as well as you might imagine it would. First of all, Windows is designed to be run on an x86 processing platform, but Sony's second-generation PlayStation doesn't support any such chips. Its main CPU is MIPSpace, so the first port of call for Metrobyte was getting a suitable x86 emulator instead. Was that smooth sailing? Absolutely not. But if it only took a few clicks and installs here and there, the video wouldn't be half as entertaining. I can remember the pains of trying to install Windows 95 on decent PCs of that era, and it was never a quick or easy process, so a good chunk of Metabyte's video concerns the trials and tribulation of getting the Play-Doh's 95 machine, or should that be WinStation 95, just to recognize everything. For example, despite multiple attempts at getting the hotspots or software to recognize the attached mouse, the humble Play-Doh's 95 machine just wouldn't play ball with a rodent. It was, however, happy enough with a keyboard gamepad, though I use happy in its loosest possible sense. Metrobyte's ultimate goal wasn't to get the PS2 to run Windows 95, though. What's the most common application that all these kinds of hacks and mods aim to run? Yes, that's right, Doom. The thing is, while Doom can be played on just a keyboard, and I have distant memories of myself doing so in the 90s, it really needs to be played with a mouse to be enjoyable. In the end, the mouse problem was the least part of Metrobyte's worries, as Doom just didn't want to work properly. This isn't the first attempt we've seen of someone trying to get an old console to run Windows 95, as you might remember the Nintendo DS one from last year. That just about worked, and while it's hard to say which of the two attempts was the more successful, I just like the fact that somebody somewhere is looking at any old hardware and thinking, I bet I can get Windows to run on it. I mean, that's essentially what Windows is doing with its whole everything's an Xbox kind of shit. Now I wonder if I can get Windows 3.1 to run on my old Game Boy. Oh, yeah. After revealing he was ordered to destroy his copy of Fallout source code, OG lead Tim Kaine says we're losing game history because companies take authority but not responsibility for preservation. Original Fallout lead Tim Kaine has a big hand in gaming history and has publicly lamented the state of game preservation more than once. Kaine himself has tried to save a fair bit of the industry, of the history around his games, and it all serves as a perfect illustration of just why game preservation is so hard to do effectively. In a new video, Kaine laments how game companies keep losing old development materials while actively obstructing their employees from doing their own preservation work. If you take the authority to keep these things and tell other people not to, and they have no right to, then you also have to take the responsibility to keep up with them. He says, yeah. It just kind of makes me mad when repeatedly companies, and especially people high up at companies, take authority but not responsibility. So there is something really cool I can say. The vice president of the EU parliament has basically decided to stand by Stop Killing Games, which all the companies, all the big companies, they lobbied against it. They say it would cost too much money on their end to keep the game.
Doesn't cost anything now. They got technology to do so much more.
And they're talking, and we're talking about people running their own fucking servers, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking
people
about.
People are doing it at their house, and they're saying it costs too much.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, that's how fucking stupid.
Something that, you know, when we were growing up, sound like rocket science.
Right.
People just doing it for a hobby.
Yep. Earlier this year, Kaine revealed that he'd been ordered to destroy his personal archive of Fallout's development, including the original source code. While others did manage to preserve the code despite those orders from Dev Interplay, the company's scorched earth approach to protecting itself from IP theft certainly scared some of its employees into deleting material that now may be lost forever. So because they said all this, a bunch of other employees deleted their fucking source code, and now we have definitely lost the ability to fix or repair some of these really old games, you know? That fucking sucks. Like, you don't even realize how bad that is.
Yeah.
And he says, people say, why didn't you keep a copy of it? When you're being threatened with a lawsuit, you delete it, he says. Of course you do. You don't have a fucking choice. They got a lot of lawyers. Game preservation isn't just about making sure modern players can continue to easily play classic games. It's also about saving development materials used in the making of those old titles. And making it easier for developers, historians, rather, and players to learn from the past. Historically, companies have not been interested in saving their own history. Oh yeah, they definitely do not give a shit. Kane lost the source code for many of his early games too, but after his experience with Fallout, he made efforts to hang on to the dev materials for future projects. That includes titles like Arcanum and the Temple of Elemental Evil, all of which were developed at Troika Games, the studio Kane co-founded, with several other Fallout veterans. But that doesn't mean he's free to release that code publicly. We can't give it out, Kane says of the Troika code. I already talked about that. I don't own it. For the sense of being able to put it out as open source, but owned it in terms of this is my code, I can reuse it in other games if I want. The two publishers in this case, Sierra and Atari, they owned it only for use in that one game, not even a remake. Kane also preserved the code for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, but doesn't make clear the exact ownership of the code. Wow. He also doesn't have anything from his time at Obsidian, but he notes that Obsidian is really good about backing stuff up. When a game ends, they do a backup and archive all the stuff. Throughout the video, Kane flags how much development material from source code, it's a little early for Christmas, from source code to original production notes has been lost to time. Hard drives fail, papers get lost in moves. Physical archives of digital media can sometimes rot away in short order. But we're closer to Christmas than we were. This is the best I can do, Kane says. I've lost stuff and I think I take an active effort to try to keep a lot of things. So I can see why companies have lost stuff, however they have had the responsibility to do it. And that, I think, is the difference. I think more companies need to step up and take that responsibility more seriously if they're going to claim the sole authority. So, one thing I want to do... That's not it. Is show you guys this, if I can. I don't know. Think this might be it. Here it is. Okay, so a guy by the name of Rohan Carr decided to upload all these classic games to Internet Archive. I suggest you get them fucking right now. These are all Abandonware games. They're not available for sale. You can't buy them anywhere. They're gone. You cannot purchase any of these games. Nobody...
Whoa, I see a couple.
Yeah, I know. You can't get any of these games anymore. They've all been taken off. Now, GOG is trying to get some of them back. But unfortunately, that is a very difficult process. So this could change. But as of right now, you can go to Rohan Carr, right there, and download these games. He just added War for Cybertron. Is Revenge of the Fallen and War for Cybertron. By the way, he's added a lot of fixes, just like you would get from GOG or Zoom Platform, and made the games so they run on modern systems.
And this is on Internet Archive.
This is on Internet Archive, right there. Right there. There's your address. And they should run on all the modern PC. I'm running Windows 11, so I'm not having any problems with them. So, definitely look this up. By the way, this gets updated every so often. See how, you know, he updates. But he tries to keep it up. Not all the games on there I want, but there's a lot of them on there that may definitely interest you guys. So, definitely pick them up. Remember, you can't get none of them off Steam or nothing. So, there you go. And we're talking about... Yeah, you can't even get Dark Athena anymore. That's right. Well, yeah, you can't get none of the Riddick ones, none of those, Last Remnant, all those. It sucks, doesn't it, that they just take this shit off and you can't get it. So guys like Rohan Kaur, he's trying to do it. He's a student. He's literally a college student. But he's doing all this stuff to try to get these games and keep these games running. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with his politics. Like, he'll post his politics stuff, but I really don't even give a shit. Like, at that point, like, I care more about what you're doing with these games. Getting these games up. Making these games available for future generations. For people that never got a chance to play them. And
they
making
have
them
the new Splinter Cell coming out.
And working with other, you know. And by the way, these are all offline games. You don't have to worry about connecting to some internet or
definitely
something like that.
Getting the Ultimate Spider-Man, I had that.
Also, these are, let me just say one thing. Yeah, also, these are also extracting zips. So when you download them, you don't get no ISOs, nothing like that. They've already had all the patches and everything, so you don't have to worry about any of that. You don't have to install them. You just unzip and play. That's literally it. He's done a really good job of this. I don't know how long this is going to stay up. So I highly recommend you guys get these games. They are abandonware, remember that. But there's nowhere you can buy them as of this video. That could change. And if they are available again on GOG or Zoom platform or something like that, or Steam, I highly recommend you pick them up. But right now, you cannot buy these anywhere. So that's the only place. And that's why archiving is important. This man is trying to preserve the history of these games. So here we are with our next article. Chuck E. Cheese is launching an adult-focused Chuck's Arcade with a location in Florida as part of a national expansion. Yes, isn't that Dave and Buster's is what you were saying.
Yeah.
The arcade, pardon me, the arcade chain is opening a spin-off aimed at adults called Chuck's Arcade, which the company describes as a modern-day love letter to the games and people who made Chuck E. Cheese great. Similar to the kiddie version, Chuck's Arcade is a mix of nostalgic arcade games like Donkey Kong and Mortal Kombat, and newer titles such as Halo and Kinect 4 Hoops. Plus, each arcade is overseen by one of the chain's iconic animatronic characters, including Chuck E. Cheese himself, or other characters from Munch's Make Believe brand. Now, Chuck E. Cheese actually stands for Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Yep.
I learned that today. Well, I learned that, a few weeks ago. Okay, so, 10 are open so far at malls across the United States. Oh, so there's a few. Arcades in St. Petersburg, Florida, Tulsa, Oklahoma, El Paso, Texas, and St. Louis. Each location looks different, decorated with original artwork that celebrates the brand's past, according to a release. There will be prizes for adults to win, and arcades will have old-school merch available for purchase. Some arcades will serve food, with Kansas City location having a pizzeria that also serves a small selection of beer and wine. David McPhillips, CEO, said that the spinoff is a natural evolution for the company following the remodel of its 500 locations and sees it as an opportunity to extend our arcade legacy into new formats that engage both lifelong fans and a new generation through a curated mix of retro classics and cutting-edge experiences. Company's expansion comes 5 years after it filed for bankruptcy during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Chuck E. Cheese spent $350 million in remodels over the past few years, as well as introducing new pricing tiers to attract budget-focused families. The launch of Chuck's Arcade comes amid troubles for its chief rival, Dave & Buster's. The latter is publicly traded and recently reported a 9.4% decline in same-store sales with its new management because people aren't going on dates anymore. Isn't that obvious? People used to go on dates to places like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
But if they're not dating, then they're not fucking going to places. And
wouldn't go on a first date there.
I would.
I would personally, but when you say you would, yeah, I'd go with some of my buddies that like to play video games, not just hoping a girl like to play.
No. I mean, look, because I'm such a gamer, anybody I'd have to be with
would
be.
Have to decide their piece of taste.
Well, I don't know about Dave & Buster's.
Oh, well, Dave & Buster's kind of like a TGI Friday.
That's what I mean.
Games.
That's what I mean. We're talking about Dave & Buster's. Dave & Buster's
doing. No, people take dates there all the time.
Well, it says not anymore. It's saying that it's publicly traded at 9.4 decline. Yeah, so it's, and they said it's got a previous, Okay, new management is trashing ill-advised changes implemented by the previous leadership that included too many adjustments at once. So, yeah. Good God. Man arrested after allegedly sexually assaulting 11-year-old. Shoot him in the head. Now, I can't necessarily fucking say that.
The molester.
Like, I can't, you know, because we can't, we're not allowed to actually, like, I know we've said, like, kill him or something like that. Without a shadow
they're guilty, I think.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But I think that, you know, I think that sort of thing should happen, but I'm not one to call out. Like, I can't call out, that personally on this show, but it is something that I agree with.
Hold on.
And I believe that anybody...
Hey, Siri.
Gonna ask Siri?
Hey, Siri. What state made it legal for death penalty to child molesters?
You can't answer that.
Yep. Idaho.
I will ask ChatGPT. Hey, ChatGPT, continue. Hey, ChatGPT, choose a voice. Choose a voice. All right. Hey, ChatGPT, what state made it legal to execute pedophiles?
I'm here to provide helpful and accurate information.
Death penalty, not... Because execute states like you can walk up and shoot them in the head.
Let me do this.
All right, David.
Hey, ChatGPT, what state made it legal to execute pedophiles?
Laws regarding capital punishment vary by state and country. In the United States, the death penalty is a legal punishment in some states, but it is only applied for the most severe crimes, typically murder. It is not legal to execute individuals for crimes like child molestation or other related offenses. If you have any questions about laws or legal matters, it's always best to consult a
Because Idaho just passed the law.
Well, did Idaho just pass a law to execute pedophiles?
Death penalty.
I understand this topic is very important. However, I don't have any recent updates on Idaho's legislation. Laws can change frequently, so it's always best to consult official legal resources or news outlets for the most current information. If you have any concerns or need more details, checking with a legal expert or official government sources would be the best approach. Let me know if there's anything else I can help with.
Nope. Okay.
Google more accurate than ChatGPT. That's crazy. About to say that they're accurate about everything.
The last update was April. So if it was just recently passed, it won't have information on it.
It has been fairly recently.
Okay, so it's probably really recently because it don't have
like it. Like in the past couple months.
All right. Okay, so Lily Allen admits she can't remember how many abortions she's had and thought it was romantic when an ex offered to pay for one. I used to get pregnant all the time.
Enough that she can't have kids no more.
Lily Allen admitted she can't remember how many abortions she's had as she opened up about birth control in a chat with her best friend Makita Oliver. Speaking on the Paris podcast Miss Me, the singer 40 described her reproductive system as a complete disaster area, confessing she would get pregnant all the time. While on the topic of contraception, she mused, I just remember I have an IUD contraceptive coil now. I think I'm on my third, maybe fourth, and I just remember before that it was a complete disaster area. Yeah, I get pregnant all the time. As Makita 41 confessed she didn't know if Lily had ever terminated a pregnancy, Lily began singing to the tune of Frank Sinatra's My Way. Abortions, I've had a few. But then again, I can't remember exactly how many. Giggling, she counted, I can't remember. I think maybe, like, I want to say four or five.
Makita mass murderer there. Serial killer.
Makita responded, I've had about five too. I've never, I'm so happy I can say that, and you can say it. No one came to shoot us down, no judgment. We've had about the same amount of abortions.
Nope, well, there's judgment. They just got a platform for it.
One of her experiences with an ex musing, I remember once getting pregnant and the man paying for my abortion and making me think it was so romantic. Makita interjected, I actually think that is romantic. Do you not think that's romantic? To which Lily responded, am I an idiot? What, getting rid of the problem? The former Pop World host then argued, no. But if you're both like, let's not do this, I don't want it, neither do I don't have any money, well, I can sort that out. Yet Lily insisted she wasn't on board, continuing, no, I don't think it's generous or romantic. Think about that investment. Like, that's how much is it? $500 quid? 500 quid. Kids are a lot more expensive. She then revealed that she didn't hear from him again after terminating the pregnancy, but reason. I mean, fear, to be honest. I was a fucking crazy bitch. Still am. TV presenter Makito does not have any children, later added that she used to feel embarrassed to say that she had more than one abortion.
Should be.
I felt really embarrassed to even say that I had more than one. Why the fuck should I be ashamed? I've had a few, she shared. Lily, who shares daughters Ethel, 13, and Marnie, 11, with her ex-husband Sam Cooper, went on to express her annoyance at having to justify terminating a pregnancy.
She would explained, have had more brothers and sisters, but I killed them all.
She explained, it actually irritates me, and I've said it before on the record. I've seen memes going around sometimes on Instagram from pro-abortion accounts or whatever whenever this conversation comes up, and suddenly you start seeing people posting things about extraordinary reasons for having an abortion. Like, my aunt had a kid that had this disability or whatever. If she went full term, it wasn't going to kill her, so we have to. It's like, shut up. I don't want a fucking baby right now. Literally don't want a baby is enough reason. She previously shared her views on a woman's right to choose in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade in 2022. She also appeared on stage during Olivia Rodrigo's Glastonbury performance of singer 2009 hit Fuck You as they discussed the ruling.
You know, if it's so right, why does everyone have a controversial stance on it? There's never someone like, no, what, you know, if it's bad, you'll always hear someone say, why do I have to defend myself about killing babies? Same thing. Why do I have to defend myself about stabbing people in the head? It's what I do. It's my thing. You know, you never hear, like, why do I have to defend my right to eat broccoli? Never. You might have a few ewes, but nobody's, you fucking skank. I like broccoli.
Yeah, we're not going to go through all of it, but yeah. It
tells a lot about you. Besides killing babies, it also means you're a sperm burping gutter slut, and nobody likes those.
Model trashes boyfriend who dumped her for refusing to fly and coach with him. He wanted me to shrink myself to fit his reality. She ended up flying solo. A Brazilian model says she was dumped by her boyfriend because she left him in coach while she opted to fly business class on their first vacation together. I didn't think it would become an issue, Ju Eisen, 39, told Jam Press of getting put on the no-guy list. The bombshell regularly shares scintillating body shots for over 2.5 million Instagram followers have been seeing the mystery man for about 3 months when they decided to plan their first trip together to celebrate phase one. Fittingly, they settled in Paris, the city of love. But when it came time to book the flights, Eisen's new beau felt that business class was too expensive, she explained. This didn't fly with Eisen, who said prioritizes comfort while traveling. I allow myself the luxury when I can. I've always traveled that way, declared the influencer, refused to make an exception for her other half. Eisen ended up paying for business class out of her own pocket, while her beau chose to stick with economy. Each of us choose what fit our budget and beliefs, said Eisen. I don't want to pay for his ticket because I believe everyone should choose how they want to travel. Yeah. She didn't think their sky-high separation was an issue until after booking when her boyfriend began acting distant and told her she should sacrifice comfort to sit with him. He started to change and make passive-aggressive comments saying it wasn't fair that I was in another class and claimed it showed a lack of unity, recounted Eisen.
That's
however,
right.
She blamed her beau for being selfish, claiming that deep down he didn't want to share anything.
Think of how women test men. Now, this is a good test for men. Like, that just go, like, say you're married,
mm-hmm.
and they're used to a certain lifestyle with, and then something happens with your job, then all of a sudden you're not able to provide that lifestyle. do they just move on?
Yeah, a lot of times they do, unfortunately.
Well, my comfort's more important yep. than our unity.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. And that will happen.
Fuck you.
That will happen.
I'm going to still ask for half of your money.
Yep. He wanted me to shrink myself to fit his reality, Eisen argued. He tried to make me feel guilty for choosing something better for myself. It felt like he couldn't handle the fact that I wasn't depending on him.
You're a digital whore. There's not much good enough for...
Things boiled over... She is a model. It doesn't say anything about OnlyFans. It's... Things boiled over in the days leading up to the trip until her beau decided to break things off, citing the business class debacle as the breaking point.
Did it not say OnlyFans?
No, it did not. No. It said Instagram. He broke up with me over the phone, saying the whole flight situation showed we were on different levels and that it wouldn't work, she said. We haven't spoken since.
I think that's good of him.
Eisen, who was flying from her hometown of Sao Paulo, refused to let their split spoil the vacation and decided to jet to the City of Light by herself. In retrospect, the social media star believes that flying solo was for the best. I traveled alone, enjoyed it my way, she said. What happened was a wake-up call for me. I realized that I don't want to be with someone who tries to make me smaller. She explained that it wasn't an issue of dating outside her class, claiming that her former flame is actually richer than her. Yeah. What's iconic is that he actually has more money than I do, but I still got upset with my choice. She said. He didn't refuse business class because he couldn't afford it. He just thought it was an unnecessary expense. Yes. Eisen has vowed to never slum it in the sky. I prefer investing in travel comfort, especially on long-haul flights, she said. And if I can afford it and it makes the trip more comfortable, why not? The model concluded, I work hard and I'm not going to apologize for enjoying the benefits of that.
And it's not even the fact that he could lose his lifestyle, even though that's a possibility. It's that he's got more to risk than she does. And that just shows you where her... priorities lie.
In fact, her former paramour isn't the first person Eisen's ditched to ride at the front of the plane. She went viral in May, revealing that she shells out $13,000 to travel first class so she can avoid getting ogled by the creeps in coach. Oh. Hopefully she's making some smart investments instead of blowing all her money on intangibles such as flight upgrades, about which I actually agree with her on that long flight. The former boyfriend probably has more money than she does because he's a wise spender and not a conspicuous consumer.
Yeah.
Her income stream is finite, and she probably has no marketable skills. Eventually, she'll be relying on a man for her upkeep, so she better adjust her attitude.
Then she stereotyped people in coach. Oh, ogling, like they aren't ogling you in first class. You whore. I'm sorry, Instagram whore's almost as bad as OnlyFans whore.
She's not Instagram.
A lot of times when they have an Instagram,
I haven't
it usually
seen.
Has a link to their... You want to see my real...
Her name is Njusen. Well, I can find that right now.
Yeah.
I'll check it right this instant. I go on there right now. So, all right. Let me go on this Instagram right now. I can't show you guys this, you know, but obviously. Let's see here. Njusen. Njusen. Okay. I'm looking at her shots. I'm not seeing anything.
Hold on. You ain't gonna find it on...
Well, no. She's not... Okay. So, she doesn't have anything like that. She doesn't seem to have anything like that. She's also on the front cover of Glamour magazine. This is not a girl that's doing...
I know a lot of people have Glamour.
I know, but she's not doing anything adult, I'm telling you right now. I would know. I would know if she was doing anything adult. I don't see anything adult. These are just regular glamour shoots, and she's working with a lot of famous models in the industry. A lot of famous models, a lot of people. Her in a bikini isn't that bad.
Her with the tits up.
Where?
Where's that?
Are you sure that's her? Are you sure that's a deepfake? Because deepfakes are...
Julianne Eisen.
Let me look. Yeah, but what's the...
It looked like her face.
Well, but the problem
if
is...
If it's a Photoshop, it's matching... You can tell a Photoshop.
Hold on.
Now, AI, maybe not, but...
Hold on, let's look. Like I said, I'm not seeing anything. If you're finding a nude, then there's a good chance it's a deepfake. And you'd be surprised how many
there's plenty of
deepfakes there are. Because I'm not seeing anything. I'm not saying she doesn't have anything like that, but I am not seeing it. I'm seeing just her being a Brazilian model. I'm literally looking at all the pictures on Google. And I'll take the safe search. Safe search is off, bro. So I'm looking
at everything. My safe search is off.
I'm on Google.
Of course it knows I need the deep dirt.
No. I mean, I'm seeing this, but that's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
Exactly. She's just a regular Brazilian model.
A lot of Instagram pages are ways for them to sell you on another
page. I am aware of that, but this one doesn't appear to be that girl. There are legitimate models that use Instagram. Yes, Instagram is fully populated with OnlyFans girls and AI.
Well,
but at the same time, that doesn't mean that everybody on there is 100% just a slut.
I mean, she failed the test and didn't even realize she failed the test.
I mean, this right here, there is some possible nude images here, but even so, it looks like it's shot for a glamour magazine. Like, she's on the cover of a magazine called Sexy? But I think it's only in Brazil, and that might not even be her, because this doesn't look like her at all. And if it was, it was really old, long time ago. So again, I'm not seeing anything. Let me look at her ex account. That's the way I'll know for sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm looking.
Saying she is or she isn't, but I'm saying she's showing a lot of signs of someone that's very...
She's really into Korean idols.
Not girlfriend material. Definitely not wife material.
Okay, so if that's a problem, even though that looks like a shoot...
I mean, that...
That's the only thing I'm seeing.
I mean, tasteful's okay.
I mean, she did do the whole march thing, so... I mean, but that's political.
Oh, it's okay if it's political.
Well, I mean, again, it's
I don't know anyone seeing my sweet baby's tits.
I don't like
except
that.
Except for me.
Look, I don't like that, but it's not the same thing as being on OnlyFans. It's just literally some dumb political stunt that they do. I get it. She's doing all the model shit that a normal model would do. I've been through the whole fucking ex profile. I don't see nothing on this girl. Again, guys, if I saw some actual shit, I'd let y'all know. This one seems to be a legit model.
It's possible to be deep fakes that I could be wrong.
You've got to be careful.
It's not the argument.
So, because, I mean, got teacher accused of chugging booze, calling students little shits, and making them dance the Macarena. And I actually made some really funny AI pictures of this one. With Crimson, of course. I'm not going to show them on the channel, but they're funny. A teacher who allegedly chugged booze and hurled curse words at students during a lesson that she attempted to... This is actually kind of funny. She didn't do any sexual stuff, but I laughed a little bit.
To do the Macarena against her.
Right.
Kill.
It's like a teacher who allegedly chugged booze and hurled curse words at students during a lesson that she interrupted to have them dance the Macarena has been fired. It's like, all right, you little shits, it's time to dance the Macarena. Yeah. What? Alice Ashton from the UK was swigging from a water bottle full of orange liquid, which smelled of alcohol, and blaring music from her laptop during the health class. One of her 16-year-old students told a hearing on Tuesday, reported The Telegraph. She also called students little shits and put her middle finger 2 to 3 inches. I can't believe I remember the Macarena. I'm actually doing the Macarena right now.
But now you didn't put it on your hips. You didn't turn.
I am not going to stand up and do the fucking Macarena.
You know that's about them sleeping with their friends.
I know that. She also called students little shits and put her middle finger to 2 to 3 inches from another teen's face during the out-of-control class at, I'm not even gonna fucking pronounce that, school in Welshpool, Wales. Why can't they just have normal fucking named schools?
That was easy for you to say. It's Welshpool, Wales.
No, that! You suckle bro, Cara. It sounds like I'm gonna summon something. In January last year.
Like, K Celtic, bro, or Gaelic.
Somebody, again, it feels like I'm going to summon something. The usually reserved and quiet teacher's classes on alcohol and drug awareness were normally boring, a student told the hearing of the Education Workforce Council Wales panel. But before the class, she was spotted swigging from a water bottle that had an alcoholic smell, the unified student told the hearing. She was very, very close to us. There was a slight alcoholic smell. She was very, very lively and quite animated in speaking with her hands. Another lesson, she was more reserved and quiet, the student said, as reported by LBC. She asked the class to make the Macarena. She played music
LBC?
And we were...
LBC?
Yeah.
LBC BBC.
It's a British. They're another British news source.
Lesbian British channel.
It is not
only a lesbian.
Leading Britain's conversation. Leading Britain's conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She played music and we were not doing work.
I like it. You had to look sing. That up.
Well, that's also the same source that first reported about No Mercy.
Labia Broadcasting.
Remember that? Leading Britain's Conversation was also the same source that reported on No Mercy and got one of the prime ministers of England really, or one of the ministers, not the prime minister, one of the ministers of England. Really upset.
I don't even know who the prime minister is now, anyway.
I neither.
You know why? Because they're not USA. USA.
Ashton's sloppy behavior came just 4 months after she had been convicted of drunk driving, the fitness to practice hearing heard. The water bottle Ashton had in her class was almost empty by the end of the class, the students said. Ashton kept jumping up from her desk and was becoming irritated as this class went on, at one point getting right in an unruly teen's face, the students said. Ashton denied that she had sung or sworn at students in an international school, internal school review, but multiple witnesses came forward to describe the chaotic scene. I need a cold beer.
Maybe
she got some students dancing
fault.
To
Did
the laptop and
that?
Speakers, and it spiraled out of control, a second teenager said. No, it's really fucking hot. CCTV it footage not. From the class that day corroborated the student's stories, the panel said. I will bring you water and me a beer. It is totally untenable to suggest the music is being played as background music, presenting Officer Lewis Harris said, as reported by LBC. The evidence is very clear that Miss Ashton did not remain at the front of the class. She invited pupils to dance. Ashton was removed from the teaching register indefinitely, but may reapply in 2 years. She did not appear at the hearing and showed no remorse for her actions, having not even responded to the findings, the disciplinary panel said. She emailed the panel only to say that she has since moved to England and no longer works as a teacher.
So she wasn't in England.
Bravo to this courageous teacher speaking truth. Frickin' tattletales, too.
Yeah.
For real!
They are little shits.
They are little shits!
The worst they ever had done to them was make them dance the Macarena. Some would say it's...
Not sure she can be rehabilitated, torture. But I'm willing to try. She certainly heightened awareness of the perils of too much alcohol consumption.
Could always do old Japanese punishment, bukkake. That's where everyone in the village goes, comes in her face.
People are saying she's hot.
She is good looking.
She is. I think she's
decent. I mean,
decent.
She's no supermodel by any means, but she's good looking.
Maybe she's probably got a better temperament than the supermodel, because obviously... The supermodel was
I
that
bet
shit.
She'd fly coach.
I bet she would.
Wouldn't bitch about it,
no. No, I bet she wouldn't.
Said they still serve alcohol back there, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Gotta buy a drink. Oh, I can afford a few shillings. Hmm. That's what they use over there, I think. Maybe pounds now, I don't know.
Pounds?
Boy, he needs... There's a guy got pounded.
Yeah, sure did.
Well, you don't start shit on a plane. And you definitely don't do it with a guy 3 times bigger than you. I kill you. I kill you now. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And like the Lollipop Guild trying to take on Goliath.
The perfect male body type, according to scientists. It's a great day for those of the dad bod, because according to a new study, This is the body type that women find most attractive. Forget chiseled abs and ultra-lean physiques. Researchers have found that dad bods with their softer edges and a bit of extra padding are actually the gold standard for male attractiveness. The study, published by researchers from the Chinese Academy of Sciences. Chinese Academy of Sciences. Well, we know what these Asian girls like.
Well, they're all bone thin, of course.
Personality
and they don't have a lot of over there would be attractive.
Personality and individual differences even put forward theories as to why people with this kind of physique are most appealing.
Why do you think sumo wrestlers in Japan get so much trim?
The study involved 283 participants from China, Lithuania, and the UK. Each person was shown 15 black and white photos of men with different body indexes. Body mass and BMI. We know what BMI is. The photos included, 18.5, then you have, The photos included BMIs ranging from 20.1 to 33.7. So it was from here to here, these three men. Not that guy, not that guy. Faces were blurred to focus solely on body shape, and participants were asked to rank the images from least to most attractive. The results showed that the most appealing bodies had a BMI between 23 and 27. That is not this. That is this and this. 23 and 27. Specifically, peak attractiveness was linked to a BMI of 23.4 in China, 23.0 in Lithuania, and 26.6 in the UK. The UK girls like them bigger. But 23, about right here.
Well, they ain't gonna find them too big in China.
For context, in Australia, a healthy BMI for adults generally falls between 18.5 and 24.9. With those between 25 and 29.9 considered overweight. Therefore, the most attractive bodies weren't those who were skinny or very lean, but rather those with a few extra pounds. What this means, although the physical findings are interesting, the researchers were more intrigued by the why. Okay, so they say that body fat, adiposity, may be important because it's linked closely inversely to circulating testosterone levels and is therefore a better indicator of male quality, the researchers said. Basically, a mid-range BMI aligns with optimal survival and reproductive fitness. The most attractive BMI in males is close to the predicted level maximizing survival, the study explained. So if you've been skipping the gym for the occasional pint and schnitzel, science suggests you may be onto something, but for women, the same can't be said. The researchers found in earlier work that males who judge females believe that being thinner than the evolutionary optional is more attractive. Duh!
Like a thick old ass.
So while women might pick a partner based on their evolutionary advantages, men mainly just care about how the partners look. Problem with BMI is that it's not differentiated between muscle weight and fat weight. That's right. Even the mathematician who dreamt it up as a statistical tool 200 some years ago said it shouldn't be used on individuals as a diagnostic tool. It's essentially a hack that was designed to measure obesity in the much different general population of 18th century Belgium. There's no basis for squaring a person's height unless you're trying to make the formula fit the data, which is exactly what happened with the BMI. And to say you can create categories of weight with the precision of a decimal point is patently absurd. But quacks and insurance companies can certainly rob money pretending this is actual scientists. This is no science, rather, not scientists. This is no different than the abuse of the PCR test to inflate lucrative COVID cases. That late inventor of the test, Kerry Mullins, also said it shouldn't be used as a diagnostic test. As an aside, he also said that Fauci was an idiot. And let's not start on the PSA test. Yep. It can't be said enough. Don't outsource your judgment. Be skeptical of every scientific claim and never confuse credentials with competence or honesty.
Yep. You know, a lot of that obesity has skyrocketed since, I want to say the last 30 or 40 years since the highly processed foods have started going crazy, which they've had them before then, but obesity hadn't been at this out of control till.
Don't forget size of wallet. I asked the gym's personal trainer what type of machine I should get. No, this is great. I asked the gym's personal trainer what type of machine I should use to get the best looking women. He said the ATM outside. It's true.
I mean, it is true, but I didn't need a joke to know that.
That's pretty funny. What machine should I use to get the most women? The ATM outside.
Oh, no.
Okay, girls should be... This is our last one, guys. Girls should be mobilized to stop boys becoming a waste of space, says Pierre, as he urges them to expect more from relationships. Girls should be mobilized to stop boys becoming unemployable wastes of space, Lord Blunkett has said. Ugh, he's not the Grim Lord. The former Labor Education Secretary, another lord with no business. Anyway, the former Labor Education Secretary said schools should empower girls to expect more from the boys they have relationships with. I should go to Britain. What lord are you? I'm the Grim Lord.
Well, I bought a lot of land in Scotland.
Mister.
It's a square foot.
It's like, is it just Grim Lord? No, it's the Grim Lord. There may be other Grim Lords, but I am the Grim Lord.
The grimmest of the lords.
Okay. It would stop boys taking it as read that girls would be interested in them, even with a poor work ethic and attitude, he said. The prospect of being shunned by girls would be an incredibly powerful incentive to prevent boys failing in life. He pointed out that many boys try to copy influencers such as Andrew Tate instead of striving to become useful citizens. To combat this, Lord Blunkett, 78, suggested that schools promote positive masculinity to form the fathers of the future. He told the Mail on Sunday, "We need to mobilize the girls to ensure that they get the message across that if you're a waste of space, we don't want to know you." Lord Blunkett, who grew up...
don't need to be a waste of space and have realistic expectations.
Lord Blunkett, who grew up in poverty, addressed concerns about the underachievement of boys. They have always performed worse than girls at GCSE and are less likely to enter university. Boys need to be shown the link between hard work and a good future in their early teens before they switch off and see it as not for them, he said. Adding that boys who want a relationship with young women should be shown the need to step up. This year, the National Education Union revealed a rise in boys becoming radicalized by online incel culture and Andrew Tate, a self-professed misogynist YouTuber. Often these pupils become disengaged in school and develop dark views about women. Lord Blunkett said, We're going to have to engage every mechanism, and one of those is for girls to say, boys, we're not going to have anything to do with you unless you start engaging with your own future, because otherwise we'll be carrying you. That sends a message to young men who feel like victims. It's your own future in your hands. It's not somebody else's fault you're a waste of space. It's yours. The peer, who served as Tony Blair's education secretary, said during his childhood in Sheffield, boys would often go into apprenticeships age 15 where they would be mentored by men. They were role models and they were support mechanisms, he said. This challenge to boys should not be a threat. The idea that somehow masculinity is being denigrated is wrong. What you've got to do is demonstrate your masculinity in an incredibly positive way. He said schools should challenge boys to raise their aspiration to lead a meaningful life contributing to society. This in turn would lead to supportive family structures if they become fathers. Lord Blunkett said the fact that so many boys are ending up as neet, not in education, employment, and training, is bad for them, bad for the economy, and corrosive of the social fabric. The issue is particularly stark for boys from a working class background who are the lowest achieving group in the country. He said migrant families in the UK see education as a ladder to prosperity, but some boys from poor British backgrounds think this is not for them. What we've got to do is work out what would have the same effect and energizing driving force for more traditional communities, and particularly where white working class boys don't see the print, he said. He advocated schools signposting more work experience and apprenticeship opportunities, so that the pupils see their relationship between experience of work and something they are interested in and their continuance in engaging with education. And he called for new Labor Sure Start program to be rejuvenated. After spending on it fell by more than two-thirds, and many centers closed and were scaled back. Sure Start Centers for Disadvantaged Areas offer early years learning, health, and family support services and have been shown to boost pupils' grades years later. In 2024, 73.7% of GCSE entries from girls achieved at least at a grade 4, a standard pass, in comparison with 67.1% of entries from boys. In addition, universities accepted around 44,000 fewer male students than female. Blunkett, who was blind from birth, from a deprived family and lost his father, age 12, in an industrial accident at work. He studied part-time at a technical college, winning a place at the University of Sheffield, where he studied politics. Best rated. Wouldn't boys instinctively do what attracts girls? Bad boys attracts girls. Maybe it's the girls that need working on.
Yep, that's what I'm thinking.
That starts with the schools. White boys have been tossed to the bottom of the pile for the sake of diversity, equality, inclusion. Ending the demonization of British lads would be a good beginning.
They wouldn't follow people like Andrew Tate if women hadn't started it.
The feminists have succeeded in their campaign. Now they want total control.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
They're too busy with social media to notice boys, but clearly it's only boys that are the waste of space.
Yep. I think the British guy don't know what's going on in the world. He don't know what's going on in his own country.
Yeah.
Illegal immigration, asylum seekers are the biggest cause of his country being taken over. They're talking about they won't have an English culture before long because Sharia law's going to end up taking over.
The prospect of being shunned by girls would be an incredibly powerful incentive to prevent boys failing in life. He told the Mail on Sunday, we need to mobilize. Well, this didn't work on my generation, it won't work on the younger ones. You cannot shame us into being women's mules.
Yeah. You gotta understand, too, on the illegal immigrant, their law coincides with their way of life. Their way of life has not changed for more than 1,000 years. If not for some of the European countries, they wouldn't know what a TV was, wouldn't know.
Right.
Modern vehicles or weaponry was, you know.
The delusion and copium from this hoity-toity boomer is hilarious. Just keep on not understanding the actual problems and dig deeper into your delusions. It's not going to help. The government is looking at the statistics and seeing that when women hit 40, those women, by and large, begin to quit working because they've had fun in a career. They've had their fun in a career, and they begin hunting for some poor scrub to marry them, play stepdaddy, and support her in the lifestyle that she'd like to become accustomed to. Except that there aren't any men left because that same government has spent the last 50 years holding down and suppressing men to give women a leg up, has kept as many men as possible for attaining higher education and middle-class jobs. So now there are very few successful men to go around for all those women. Yeah. Congrats! You played yourself!
I mean, the women don't really care about the work ethic. They care about how much you're bringing home. They could give a shit less. Like, if you're working at, say, McDonald's, for instance, not a lot of women just knocking at your door unless you're in high school. And even then, some of them have Instagram accounts and all this. So I could do better.
And look at this. We are always talking about the expectations that women have of men. What are the expectations that men should have of women? Yeah. Women want to live the single life, ride the carousel, collect a bunch of baggage, and then expect high-earning provider males just to be waiting in the wings to marry them at 30, 35 when they are ready to settle and start having a family. It doesn't work that way.
It makes zero sense for
a man to marry a high body count, 30-plus boss babe who put career over building a family with a man. Either that, or she is a brave single mom who chose her two baby daddies poorly, and now you should step up. Oh, and she's fat and angry, too. Work hard and claim your prize, boys. Yeah.
Think of how many videos you see of morbidly obese. Not even morbidly obese, just women that don't take care of themselves and are marginally kind of cute, but even the ugly ones. The ones that are butt-fucking-ugly ain't got a chance in the world of being found attractive, and they think they're tens. They think, why in the fuck? Even dudes that think they're girls think they should be, why aren't they dating me? I got a vagina now, or at least a hatchet wound where a dick used to be. No, fucking sick.
I said, youngsters always have two fallback options rather than study and hard work. A life on benefits, where girls need a boy for all that important first leg on the property ladder. A baby or a life of crime, usually drugs. I've been working hard for 6 years, still on $2,500 a month, driving a $4,000 car. Single mom next door on benefits, driving a $28,000 car. And young men are the ones working and paying for it. The situation's unacceptable.
Yeah. Living off the government, I think cutting government spending is a good thing.
Well, I mean, that's the world we live in. And guys are like, fuck no, we're not going to do this.
Nope.
They're not going to do it. So, I'll talk about this more in another video that I'll supplement with this, but we've got to get on to the next thing. So, we thank you guys for joining us yet again on another episode of the Grim Articles Show, and we'll see you next time for more.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.